Joe, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Well, I guess let's talk about Gagne. Is this really a loss at all for the Bruins?
Well, I mean, look, when he had to go back home, when he found out his father was gravely ill and he returned to Quebec, he was actually playing probably the best that he had played all year. He scored a couple of goals in the four-game road trip out west to California. And it seemed like that fourth line was starting to gel with him and with Daniel Pie and Gregory Campbell. And, you know, the timing was somewhat unfortunate. But at the end of the day, I think they were better off going younger and a little grittier on that fourth line anyway. Craig Cunningham has been an outstanding fit there. And I'm not really sure this is a loss that's really going to hurt them. It's just really more just too bad individually for Simone Gagne. He loses his dad, obviously, who was very close to him. Even in just a few months that he'd been with the Bruins, he had mentioned him a couple of times, just that his dad still checked the box scores and watched all of his games and all that stuff. And to know that he's, you know, got such a heavy heart that he can't even return to the NHL right now because he's, you know, so down about this is just really too bad because he's a first-class person, and I hope the road gets a little smoother for him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's a tough time for him and his family. But what happens with his contract now? Like, is that off the books? I mean, does it free up some cap space or a contract space?
I think it frees up a contract, you know, so they can go out and sign somebody else to a contract. I have to look up whether it comes off the books as far as salary cap space because I'm not sure that it does. It may, but I think even if you're on the suspended list, I always thought that it didn't really matter what happened to you. If you were still a living, breathing individual, no matter what list you were on, you would still go against the cap. But I'm going to have to check that. Even so, he had a $600,000 contract, so it's not like you're sure. Talking about a cap hit that's really going to or a cap number that's really going to destroy the Bruins at the end of the day anyway.
Joe, the Bruins starting to play better. Health-wise, maybe that plays a part in it. What have you seen where the Bruins now, you know, winners of three in a row and maybe starting to turn their way up the standings?
Yeah, you know, they definitely are healthier now. And the fact that not only are they healthy, but David Krejci and Zdeno Chara have been playing for, you know, a month now or so, and they're really starting to get into the form that you're used to seeing them have as two of the best players in the NHL. And, you know, ever since David Krejci come back, they've scored a lot more goals, and they've definitely looked a lot more like the Bruins that you're normally used to seeing. And no question also, with the return of Zdeno Chara, they're a much tougher and harder team around the net, and it's a lot more difficult to score against them. And you're not seeing as many easy goals for opposition right in front of the cage as you used to. But all that being said, you know, they got out played pretty badly against a good Pittsburgh team, and they ended up making enough plays to win that game. Tukaras played well. They completely dominated a New Jersey team that's looked DOA a couple times now in these games when they've shown up, and looks like they've already, you know, got the envelopes and the stamps out to mail in the season. And then they went into Philly, and they played a pretty good game, but they didn't show up for the second period and left the door open for the Flyers to come back. It didn't happen, and they got two goals from David Pastrnak, which ends up being the game winner. But, you know, they're still not playing their best hockey of the year. The hope is, and what they were thinking and talking about in the dressing room, is just that you start to win some games, you get a few bounces, you get some confidence, and it all starts coming back. But they still know they've got a couple more levels they've got to get to. And let's face it, you know, they're still missing a couple of pieces on that roster. And I think until they get a right winger that's capable of really producing and playing with David Krejci and Milan Lucic, and they get another top four defenseman, they're missing a few pieces on the roster. So, I think there's a ceiling as to how good they can get. I think they're still a playoff team, but I don't know how much more than that they are as currently constituted. But this will be a big week. They're playing Tampa tomorrow. They've got the Rangers coming in who are red hot, and they've got a Columbus Blue Jackets team next week, and that thoroughly embarrassed them coming out of the holiday break. So this will be a big testing week for the Bruins.
Joey, you brought the name David Pastrnak. I saw his first two goals in the NHL. The first one, he drives a net and gets a tap in. Second one, he finds a nice quiet space, gets open for a nice feed and buries that. You know, is this a guy that obviously developed quite well since he was drafted just this year, but he's in the minors and the World Junior. But what is the thinking with this guy as far as the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's the question right now. And it's an accomplishment that he's here and that he's playing the way he is. I think right now, he and Aaron Ekblad are the only two members of the draft from this past summer that are still up and playing in the NHL, and I think that says a lot to his talent. Ekblad obviously was the number one overall pick. Pasternak was the 25th pick, and he's, you know, thriving and having a lot of success in the NHL, and I think that speaks to what kind of a player he's going to be and the bright future for him. You know, the problem is he's about 175 pounds right now, and he's not that big, and he's definitely going to get hit and worn down and lose his share of battles, and maybe at times not be strong enough to be effective offensively because he can't get to where he needs to go when, you know, the ice gets really crowded out in front of the net and in the tough areas to get to. But he's got the skill. He can skate. He can shoot. He's a playmaker. He's a passer. You saw the instincts that he has as an 18-year-old, that second goal that he scored. You really can't teach that instinct to move without the puck like he did, get drift towards the front of the net and then finish off that play when Krejci found him there. You know, that tells you that this is a player that's got a high hockey IQ and really thinks the game very well. Sometimes that can make up for some of the lack of physical strength until he gets to the point where he's a little stronger. So, you know, they're using all these games right now to figure out if he can help them. Maybe he can be that right winger on the top line with Krejci and Lucic. But I got to tell you, I think he can help this team, but I still think they need to go out and get another piece, because if you're relying on an 18-year-old, 175-pound kid to play 16, 17, 18 minutes a night as one of your top forwards, withstand that physical pounding for the rest of the regular season and the playoffs, and produce a lot for you, I think you're going to be a little disappointed. I think he's got the talent to stick and he'll help them, but it's hard to expect an 18-year-old to be consistent and to bring it every single night in the NHL.
Joe Haggerty from Comcast Sports in New England joins us. Joe, one player on the Bruins I'm very intrigued by, I'm assuming maybe a lot of other teams are because he's a potential UFA, Carl Soderberg, who is currently the second leading scorer on the Bruins, a team that doesn't have a ton of cap space. What do you think they're going to do with Soderberg? Or is that a guy, due to his age, he's going to say, man, I'm going to strike it rich in free agency and I'm testing the market?
Yeah, he could. You know, I think that's definitely a consideration. J.P. Barry is his agent, and I know he's been known every once in a while to steer his clients towards the lucrative deals, and that may be what he goes for. You know, he's been fairly quiet about what his plans are, and I think he understands, obviously, as all the Bruins players do, the situation that they're in cap-wise. And it really comes down to a pretty simple decision. You know, if somebody offers him, you know, the kind of money that you would pay a top-six center, a top-two-line center, on another team, you know, and it starts creeping into the, you know, $4 million range plus, I think it's going to be really difficult for the Bruins to match that, given that he's going to be a third-line center with the Boston Bruins. They're always going to have Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, and he really slots in as an extremely advantageous third-line center that's big and strong and willing to go to the net and has the skill to finish and can make some plays and can do all these things as a third-line center and overwhelm third and fourth lines for the other team in second pairing or bottom pairing defenseman. But he went 15 games without scoring a goal when Krejci went out, and he had a hard time when he was playing top six, you know, responsibility minutes as a center. And, you know, they can't afford to be paying third-line players upwards of $3 million. That's what kind of got them into the salary cap, a little bit of the salary cap trouble they're in now, is paying a guy like Chris Kelly $3 million a year. So I think if he likes it in Boston, if he's comfortable here, and it did take him a long time to leave Sweden, so there is something in his personality that stays where he's comfortable, then he'll stay in Boston. But if somebody like Detroit or somebody else offers him money and envisions him as a monstrous top-two-line center, then I think he's going to go somewhere else, and they're not going to be able to match it and keep him for sure.
Joe, let's talk a little bit about the D. Dougie Hamilton and his great play this season.
Dougie's been excellent, and you know it. Patrice Bergeron was named the only Bruins All-Star, and rightfully so. And it's amazing. It's his first All-Star appearance for Bergeron in his 11th season, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, he'd been underrated for a long time. Dougie was the only other player on the Bruins, I thought, that was even deserving of consideration to be an All-Star. And, you know, we were joking about it a little bit when I mentioned it to him, because he said, did you look at the list of defensemen that are under consideration? He's like, I got no shot. And, you know, he was certainly right, but I think it speaks to how well he's played for the team. Yes, he's had some games where, you know, defensive coverage and things like that continue to be a little bit of a problem as a 21-year-old defenseman sort of making his way and with a lot of responsibility as a top-pairing defenseman. But more often than not, he has moved the puck very swiftly. He's created goals with a big shot that creates rebounds. He's made great first passes out of the zone. He's really helped the Bruins' transition game. And really, he was the anchor for that Bruins defenseman core when Zdeno Chara was out for 6 weeks, almost 2 months. And he really started to show that he's going to be able to, take the training wheels off and be a top-pairing defenseman and get the job done. He still continues to need to get bigger and stronger and get a little meaner in the D-zone, but he's 6'5", and he's gaining weight all the time and strength. And, he looks to be the real deal, and he's going to be a franchise defenseman in Boston for a long time.
Joe, I was looking at NHLNumbers.com that has all the contract situations for the Boston Bruins, and you mentioned they're going to try to add some guys. Do you potentially see them making a move at the deadline to try to get rid of some salary as well?
They have to. I think they have to move at least one or two players. It depends on what they're getting back in return. And, the fact that teams can retain some of the money now, I think, factors into it as well. And I think that may be part of the discussion that's going on in some of these trades, given the cap troubles that the Bruins are in. But I do think you're going to at least have to see them, I think, deal away one or two of those, $1.5 million players, whether it's an Adam McQuaid, whether it's a Gregory Campbell, maybe even a Daniel Paille, who has played really well the last couple weeks playing with Patrice Bergeron and Milan Lucic. I think you're going to see maybe one or two of those kind of players get dealt for some more salary cap space if they have to clear it off to bring in players. Now, I think they should get a top line right winger and a top four defenseman. I'm not sure they're going to go out and get the top four defenseman. I still think they should, but maybe they're going to go with what they have. But I can tell you with certainty, they're going to get a right shot right winger. And, the name Chris Stewart continues to be out there, and I think that's sort of the one they're holding there as the guy they'll get if, nothing else materializes. And, a lot of these other names that I think could be out there haven't been available. Maybe TJ Oshie is still a possibility. Maybe Zach Kassian might be a possibility. But I still think when push comes to shove, when the trade deadline comes or before it, Stewart is probably the guy that you'll see there, just given the cost, given what it's going to cost to get him in trade assets and given what they need for a big, strong right winger that is capable of scoring goals.
Joe, always great to talk to you, man. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Take care.